KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, some freezing mist or drizzle, and it's still 28 degrees. There is a winter weather advisory in effect for Cass and many of our area counties until 6 a.m. Wednesday for mixed precipitation and snow. We look for cloudy skies with light snow or freezing drizzle this morning and light snow this afternoon. A high right around the freezing mark, 31 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with a check of the latest area news. A winter storm dropping freezing rain and snow is tracking eastward across Nebraska into Iowa, prompting schools and businesses to remain closed for the day. The National Weather Service has issued winter weather advisories and warnings today that carry forecasts of up to 8 inches of snow for northeast Iowa, up to 4 inches expected to accumulate by the time the storm leaves Omaha, and as much as 5 inches is forecast to amass in the Des Moines metro area overnight into Wednesday. Wind-driven snow and icy roads are making travel hazardous. The Nebraska Department of Transportation says Interstate 80 is partially covered with ice in east central Nebraska, as are several other highways. No storm-related road closures have been reported. Below zero wind chill temperatures are forecast for overnight. Locally, in the KJAN listing area, roadways are partially covered with ice, many of them including Interstate 80 from about the Highway 25 interchange all the way over to the Minden exit, and of course Highway 59, Highway 71, Highway 6, Highway 83, Highway 148, and Highway 92 in most spots are still covered with ice this morning. In the news, the Iowa State Patrol reports a woman from Atlantic was injured during a head-on collision Monday morning north of Cumberland. 23-year-old Megan Meggers was driving a 2001 Ford Taurus northbound on County Road N28 or 690th Street at around 7:30 a.m. when her car, for some reason, crossed the center line of the road about one-half mile north of Oxford Road and continued in the southbound lane. 27-year-old Samuel Cutler of Messina, who was driving a Dodge Ram 2500 pickup, was traveling southbound and tried to avoid the collision, but the vehicles hit head-on. Maggers, who was wearing her seatbelt, suffered severe injuries and was flown by LifeNet to the UMMC in Omaha. And Cutler was transported by a private vehicle to the Cass County Hospital. Messina and Cumberland Fire and Rescue, Medevac, and the Cass County Sheriff's Department assisted at the scene. Two men were arrested on separate charges in Creston Monday. According to Creston police, 20-year-old Kane Farlow of Creston was arrested at around 3:40 a.m. on a Union County warrant for parole violation, for which he was being held in jail without bond. Farlow was also charged with possession of a controlled substance violation, possession of drug paraphernalia, and for being a felon in possession of a firearm. His bond on those charges was set at $16,000. And at around 12:45 p.m. Monday, 64-year-old John Steffens of Lorimore was arrested in Creston for public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. A Nebraska man was arrested at around 9 p.m. Monday on charges in Fremont County. Sheriff Kevin Astrup says the Fremont County K-9 unit stopped a vehicle driven by 18-year-old Hunter Bickle of Nebraska City, Nebraska, for a traffic violation. During the course of the stop, deputies found Bickle allegedly trying to conceal a controlled substance. He was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, second offense, and transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center, where a records check indicated Bickle is currently on probation for the same charge. His bond was set at $1,000. The City of Atlantic's Personnel and Finance Committee will meet 5:15 p.m. on Wednesday in the Council's chambers at City Hall. On their agenda is discussion with regard to a proposal to sell the Atlantic Senior Center. During last week's City Council meeting, City Administrator John Lund said there is a buyer interested in purchasing the Senior Center. The facility, he said, is in need of approximately $36,000 in repairs due to a leak in the roof that occurred during the storms last summer. The Personnel and Finance Committee will pass along their recommendation to the Council during their next regular meeting. The P&F Committee also will discuss Wednesday and make recommendations with regard to the fee the City charges on long-term delinquencies requiring property assessment and extending employee benefits that are granted to union members to non-union employees. Well, Sheriff's deputies in Page County on Sunday arrested 30-year-old Nathan Andrew Wilcoxon of Clarinda. Wilcoxon was taken into custody at his home following the execution of a search warrant by the Clarinda Police Department, assisted by the Page County Sheriff's Department. Wilkinson was charged with two counts of theft in the second degree, conspiracy to commit burglary, and trespass. The Clarinda Police Department also had several charges on Wilcoxon. During the search warrant, numerous items that were recovered that had allegedly been stolen from a structure in Page County. The items had previously been reported stolen by the owner on January 5th. The sheriff's office has been actively investigating the case since it was reported. The owner was contacted and identified the items that were seized. Wilcoxon remained in a Page County jail on $5,000 cash-only bond, as set by a magistrate. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a father and his 8-year-old son died, but two other children were rescued after their vehicle broke through the ice Sunday on a lake in northwest Iowa. Buena Vista County Sheriff Corey Elston said the family came to Storm Lake to play at the indoor water park Sunday afternoon. He said investigators don't yet know why the man decided to drive out onto the nearby lake after leaving. The car was seen driving slowly before it became submerged in the freezing water about 1/4 mile or farther from shore. Elston said rescuers found the wet children on the ice and the father was in the water. Rescuers used sleds to get the family to the shore. The man and his son were pronounced dead at a hospital. His two other children, girls ages 9 and 5, were flown to a Sioux Falls, South Dakota hospital. Elston said their prospects for surviving look positive. The family has not yet been identified. Officials say an eastern Iowa firefighter injured in a fiery explosion that killed a colleague is making strides in his recovery. Clinton City Administrator Matt Brooks said Monday that 23-year-old Adam Kane is listed as stable and has begun physical therapy. Brooks says Kane was able to walk about 100 feet Sunday at the University of Iowa clinics and hospitals in Iowa City. Brooks said that Kane is doing well and is in good spirits and was able to receive a visit Monday from fellow Clinton Department firefighters. Fire Lieutenant Eric Hossett died January 5th while fighting the fire at the ADM grain facility in Clinton. The Iowa National Guard helped to seize illegal drugs that were worth tens of millions of dollars in 2018. Iowa National Guard Adjutant General Timothy Orr has the totals.
More than 1 pound of fentanyl, which equates to more than 180,000 fatal doses, and nearly 15 pounds of heroin were seized and taken off the streets in Iowa. And in 2018, more than $63 million in drugs and $3.5 million in cash and assets were seized from drug dealers in Iowa with the assistance of the Iowa National Guard's counter-drug program.
That's a $20 million increase in drug seizures by Guard soldiers as compared to the previous year. The federally funded Midwest Counter-Drug Training Center is located at Camp Dodge in Johnston. Orr says local law enforcement can get training at the center at no cost to the agencies where they work.
In 2018, the Iowa National Guard's counter-drug program trained over 824 law enforcement officers across the state to properly administer Narcan, which is the antidote for opioid overdoses.
Narcan is the brand name for naloxone. An injection of naloxone can reverse the effects of an overdose in as quickly as 2 to 5 minutes. Training is key, however, as some opioid users require more than one injection of naloxone to reverse an overdose. The top two Democratic leaders in the state legislature say they're open to considering changes to when Iowa voters may cast absentee ballots, but both say they will resist wholesale changes. Janet Peterson of Des Moines is the Democratic leader in the state Senate.
My concern is that the cleanup language doesn't make it harder for people to have their votes counted.
The rules for counting absentee ballots are at the center of a disputed Northeast Iowa legislative race. Absentee ballots are to be mailed the day before the election, but the Postal Service no longer guarantees mail gets a postmark showing when it was mailed. Barcodes on a batch of uncounted ballots showed they were mailed by the deadline. Representative Todd Pritchard of Charles City is the new leader of the House Democrats.
All of these 29 disputed ballots were mailed by the information put on the envelope, so I don't think it would be nice maybe to clarify, but I think the law is pretty clear.
Pritchard and Peterson made their comments this past weekend during an appearance on Iowa Public Television. A state senator has introduced a bill that would allow county auditors to determine when absentee ballots are mailed by any means of tracking offered by the U.S. Postal Service. The attorney representing the lawmaker who won the Northeast Iowa House race by 9 votes argues the 29 uncounted ballots do not have the legally required intelligent barcode that can only be tracked through a subscription service, and the Winnesee County auditor did not pay for that subscription. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Irene Hansen, age 93, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A celebration of life for Irene Hansen will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. Diane Cappell, age 76, of West Des Moines and formerly of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cavanaugh House in Des Moines. Memorial services for Diane Cappell will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Glenna Bone, age 88, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Glenna Bone will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the First Assembly of God Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. LaVon Godfrey, age 84, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for LaVon Godfrey will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Vivian Langfelt, age 98, of Messina, died January 18th at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Vivian Langfelt will be this Friday at 11 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Richard Morris Norgard, age 89, of Ankeny, died January 16th in Des Moines. Memorial services for Richard Norgard will be on Saturday at noon at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Harold Edward Whalert, Sr., age 92, of Atlantic and formerly of Anita, died January 15th at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Harold Whalert, Sr., will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Rodney Pigg, age 66, of Phoenix, Arizona, and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday in Phoenix. Services for Rodney Pigg will be held in Phoenix. No local services are planned. And Geraldine Jerry Hemmingson, age 75, of Elkhorn, died Saturday in Apache Junction, Arizona. Services for Jerry Hemmingson are pending at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen.